listening to a sermon from New Life Church in Guernsey. We hope you're blessed and encouraged by this message.
There are two kinds of blindness that are referred to in the Bible. And the one is far more serious than the other, although I think that if given the choice, many, many people would probably choose the more serious kind of blindness above the other. The first kind is physical blindness, and that is not something that any of us would choose. And yet, spiritual blindness is far more serious indeed. Interestingly, this evening's passage in Mark brings us to the account of a man who is physically blind, and yet at some point his spiritual eyes had been opened to see Jesus for who he truly was. Well, let's get into the details. In the first part of Mark chapter 10, in verse 46, we read that Jesus and his company came to Jericho. We know that by now, at this point in Mark's gospel, Jesus had already set his face toward Jerusalem, and you might remember from last week that the people who followed him were both amazed and afraid. They were amazed by his steadfastness and his sense of purpose as he steadfastly faced toward Jerusalem and walked in a way that showed courage, even though he knew the dangers that lay ahead of him. And yet they were also afraid because they knew that being associated with Jesus meant that the dangers that lay ahead for Jesus were probably coming their way too, and yet they followed still, as you and I should follow, even in the face of danger and scorn because of our association with Jesus. Well, in the second part of Mark chapter 10, verse 46, I think it's a little bit of a case of one, two, skip a few, 99, 100. There's a big gap between the first part of verse 46 and the second. We read that he arrived in Jericho and next thing he's leaving. But the second part says that as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a great crowd, Bartimaeus, a blind beggar, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside. And as we come to the story of blind Bartimaeus, which, by the way, is only recorded in Mark's gospel, not in any of the others, there are three things that I'd like to draw our attention to this evening. The first is that blind Bartimaeus was determined. The second is that blind Bartimaeus was seen. And the third is that blind Bartimaeus was specific. And these are three elements that should influence how we pray. We do well to be fervent in prayer, knowing that we are seen by God, and we do well to be specific in our requests. One of the striking things that I find, certainly, as we come to this evening's passage, is how determined Bartimaeus was to connect with Jesus. I think that, like the Ephesian church, who Jesus, in the book of Revelations, says that they've lost their first love, I wonder if you and I have ever found that we aren't what we once were when it comes to our determination in seeking after Jesus. And perhaps we can be encouraged this evening by the story of Bartimaeus, and we can examine our own determinacy in terms of how we engage with Jesus. Well, imagine the scene that's presented to us in this passage. A large crowd had gathered, and they'd begun jostling with excitement. And among them was blind Bartimaeus, probably sitting at the side where he usually begged. And yet, although he couldn't see what was going on, he sensed the tension in the air, and he heard the shouting, and he may very well have felt people pushing against him as everyone was trying to see what was going on. And when he heard that it was all because of Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." That's in verse 47. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Although he couldn't see at some point that we're not told about in the passage, blind Bartimaeus had come to see that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, the Son of David. And if anyone could save him from his physical blindness, he knew that it was Jesus. And isn't it ironic how many of those who could see Jesus with their own eyes were too spiritually blind to recognize who he truly was? And yet this physically blind man saw the Messiah. So probably unsure of which direction even to look or to face, Bartimaeus began to cry out in a loud voice, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And when many began to tell him to be silent, he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And I'm sure he was thinking that this is the moment that he's been waiting for. All of his days, he had waited for this opportunity to be healed, and he was not going to let it pass him by. And so, as a first point this evening, let's note and acknowledge and admire the determination shown by Bartimaeus on that day. Our second point is that blind Bartimaeus was seen by Jesus. I wonder if you've ever really wanted to meet someone or to get an appointment with someone. Perhaps when King Charles came to Guernsey, you were secretly hoping to bump into him at Waitrose. Who knows where? But the window of opportunity came and went, and your hopes didn't come to pass. Blind Bartimaeus was desperate for this not to be the case. Everything depended on being seen by Jesus. And so he cried out all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." And although the crowds had tried to turn him away because they saw him as someone who was unworthy, just as Jesus had done with the children who'd been turned away by the disciples, Jesus surprised the crowd by calling Bartimaeus to himself. Bartimaeus had been seen by Jesus. And in that moment, Bartimaeus, we're told, threw off his cloak, sprang up, and came to Jesus. The people were surprised, but that is because they were spiritually blind to God's heart. After all, Bartimaeus certainly wasn't the first person, the first outcast to be seen by God. In fact, one of the biblical names of God found in Genesis chapter 16, verse 13 is El Roi, which means the God who sees. And this name of God was first spoken to Hagar in the wilderness long ago, at a time when she faced deep despair and abandonment as she had been cast out and was on the run. And yet God saw her. God saw Hagar in the desert. He saw blind Bartimaeus on that day in Jericho. And the good news is that he sees us too, no matter what we're facing. Notice the words spoken to Bartimaeus in verse 49, not by Jesus, but some in the crowd. And I imagine that these words were spoken to Bartimaeus by some of the disciples, but we're not told exactly who spoke these words. Verse 49 says, "And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' And they," whoever they might have been, "called the blind man, saying to him, 'Take heart, get up, he is calling you.'" If you feel like an outcast or that nobody sees you this morning, if you feel like you're wrestling with things that just aren't going away, I'd like to borrow these words from whoever spoke them on that day and speak them to you this evening. Take heart, get up, he is calling you. And to all of us, let's remember that we can boldly cry out to Jesus, knowing that he sees our pain and understands our situation. Actually, Jesus understands whatever we're going through to a far greater degree than we could ever understand our own circumstances. And one of the Bible passages that makes this clear is Hebrews chapter 4, verses 15 to 16, that reads as follows. For we do not have a high priest, of course, speaking about Jesus, who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. He sees, he knows, and he understands. And therefore, verse 16 continues and says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Somehow Bartimaeus grasped this to be true. And my prayer is that we grasp it to be true as well. Blind Bartimaeus was determined, and blind Bartimaeus was seen. But the third point this evening is that blind Bartimaeus was specific. We read in verse 51 that Jesus said to Bartimaeus, what do you want me to do for you? I'm sure he said that in a loving way, but there could have been a twinkle in his eye, a little bit of humor, although Bartimaeus wouldn't have seen the twinkle in his eye, but I'm sure he was attuned to people's voices, and he might have heard a twinkle in the tone that Jesus spoke these words. He might have thought, isn't it obvious? I'm the one who can't see. Can't you see what the problem is? I mean, if it was a doctor, he might have thought, well, I hope this guy actually can see what the problem is, because otherwise he might operate on the wrong part. I've heard that if you have a knee operation, you have to mark a big X on the knee that needs to be operated in case they operate on the wrong knee. But of course, Jesus did see. God sees all. We've just reflected on that, and God sees very well indeed. He sees that which we cannot and do not see. And he knows what we need even before we ask. Jesus taught this to the people in Matthew chapter 6. Verse 6 says, but when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to the Father who is in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. So again, we're reminded that God sees. God sees all things. He sees the things that happen in secret, and certainly he sees the struggles that we're going through. And verse 8 continues, and your Father knows what you need before you ask him. And yet the Bible teaches us that we should still ask specifically when we come to God in prayer. Why? I think it's very clear. I think it's because God wants us to have a loving, two-way relationship with him. We're not robots that he just wants to press a button, on our back to get something to change. He wants a two-way relationship with him, and he wants us to be blessed by experiencing answered prayers for specific needs. If we live a wonderful life, and it's just based on general prayers, our faith doesn't grow, and we don't see God at work in our lives in the same way as we do when we pray specifically and we see God working in specific ways. The prayer that he went on to teach, this is Jesus in Matthew chapter 6, from verse 9, of course, we know this well, exemplifies the value of specificity in prayer. Jesus said, pray like this, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Those are all specific prayers, and there's specific characters within this prayer. But also, it's not a prayer that we should rattle off without thinking. And I think, importantly, we need to meditate on the different categories, and we actually need to expand on them based on our own personal circumstances. So we go through the prayer and we think about the different categories and we expand based on our personal circumstances. So Jesus asked blind Bartimaeus what he wanted, and blind Bartimaeus specifically replied, "Rabbi, let me recover my sight." We know that generally God answers prayers in one of three ways. Either God says yes, or sometimes God says no. Sometimes we ask for things that just aren't in God's will. And we might not understand that, but of course, God is God and we are not. Sometimes God says no, and sometimes God says wait or not yet. And we need to, in every circumstance, respond to God in love and trust. If we have true faith, that means that we respond to God in faith and trust and love, regardless of how our prayers are answered. On this occasion, the answer was yes. We read in verse 42, and Jesus said to him, "Go your way, your faith has made you well." And immediately he recovered his sight and followed him on the way. What a wonderful thing that this man's life was transformed and he followed Jesus from that day. Well, as we draw to a close, let me ask some questions. Bartimaeus was determined and he fervently called out to Jesus, asking Jesus to have mercy on him. Are we determined and fervent in prayer? Or do we say, "Oh God, please change this," and then we just leave it? Do we pursue God in prayer? Do we fast? Do we really cry out to God as might be necessary? God calls us to be determined in prayer, even fasting at times, for His glory. If we're doing all these things for our own glory, or if our heart motives aren't what they should be, we're missing the point. It needs to be for God's glory that we're coming to Him in prayer. Bartimaeus was also seen. Having cried out to the Lord saw him and responded to him, and so Bartimaeus was able to take heart. As we cry out to the Lord, we too can take heart, knowing that in His perfect timing and in His perfect way, He will make all things whole. And that's where true faith comes in. Faith is believing in that which we cannot see. And one day our faith will turn to sight, but until our faith does turn to sight, it's about trusting and continuing to believe in the goodness of God, knowing that in His perfect time and perfect way, one day all things will be made well. Bartimaeus was specific. Of course, Jesus knew the problem that Bartimaeus faced, as He knows the problems that you and I face, and yet He invited Bartimaeus to make a specific request of Him. Following this example, let's learn to be specific as we bring our requests before the Lord. He wants us to present our requests to Him, and He wants us to be blessed and amazed as He answers specific prayers in the perfect time and in the perfect way. We thank God that He is indeed a prayer-answering God. Amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to find out more about our church or would like us to pray for you, we'd love for you to get in contact with us via our website. And if you're in Guernsey and you don't already belong to a church, you're really welcome to join us this Sunday at New Life Church.